to kick off this morning's talk here outside of a series. We normally do series here at Journey Church, and we're getting ready to do some series here in just a little bit. But before we dig into another series, these are just kind of some solo messages that God has put on my heart over the last several months that I want to share with you here. You know, the vision of Journey Church, we really have just recently updated it within the last year. The vision of Journey Church, the vision statement, so to say, is to see dreams discovered and built, and to see broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. And that's something that we see here quite often at this church. People come in and discover, number one, that they're not an accident, that they were created for and with a purpose in their life, a dream to become who God created them to become. And it's our goal, our vision, to see that happen. Now, to see that happen requires a mission. How do we accomplish that vision? And here's how you accomplish a vision like that. I don't know if you saw that big red word on the wall when you come through the door. You can actually see it from the road, praise God. It's called love. Amen. And love is a powerful force, especially when applied to the three things that have become the mission of Journey Church. Love Him. When you put your love into the one who loves you, when you commit your heart over to God, things happen. Results stem from it. We are to love Him. Love His Word. Amen. When you begin to dig in to this and commit your life to this. I mean, no, love isn't a feeling. Love is a verb. It's something that you commit to do regardless of how you feel. When you give your life over to His Word, and when you give your life to Him, you start to see your dreams and your purposes come to the surface. And when you dig into this, you begin to see the strategy and how a dream is built. Amen. Love Him. Love His Word. We have another three, well, our mission is threefold: love Him, love His Word, but it's also love His world. Because there isn't a dream that God would put in anybody's heart that doesn't have intention to bless the world around you. Dreams aren't put in your life by God to be selfish dreams. They're to be selfless dreams. So that doesn't necessarily mean everybody here is called to be in full-time ministry, pastorally, as if God can't bless an auto shop, that God can't bless people that have dreams and visions to start businesses, that bless people in the community. We do what we do to bless the world around us through the gifts He's put in us. God has called us all to love our world. And I want to talk about that third portion of our mission here today, loving our world. Tail end of 2014, we sent four people from this church to Africa. And you got that picture? We sent these guys to Africa and to go visit the orphanage that we started, and that we support in starting. And that hairy guy in the back, I love him dearly. And this was right around the time, this is when they landed in the airport in Burundi, but this is right around the time when Ebola was big. Remember Ebola? And so it was at such a scare that we actually had a whole trip of about, I don't know, 15 people or so scheduled to go. And because of the Ebola outbreak, that we were like, and it was kind of centered in around that region. So we're like, well, we don't want to send the whole team because we don't want to send you out to go get Ebola and come back and bless all of us with Ebola. So we decided to send just about four people and our team. These are the ones we sent to get Ebola. Amen. And so, but if you kind of track the origin of Ebola. Originated from what we have found in fruit bats that exist in the Congo jungle. And so fruit bats in the Congo jungle. Now, the Congo jungle borders the lake that borders Burundi. And so these four, about 3 days in, I would assume, I think it was around 3 days in, they're at a cafe or a restaurant, and they're eating, and they're sipping tea, and they're just having a good old time, just talking about the ministry. And that hairy guy in the back was sitting there, and you see bats, like, I guess, around there. And a bat flew over, or was sitting in a tree or something like that, and just deposited a blessing that went directly in to Tim's mouth. Now, it was a fruit bat. And so Tim, as would any of us, would freak out a little bit because he might have Ebola, right? Like, might have just said, here's some Ebola, you know? And it was just one of those things where, you know, Tim, am I telling the truth right now?
Yeah, it's
gross. So, like, he's just like, what? Like, how do you get that out of your mouth? And, you know, he's saying Jake, which is, oh, don't worry about it. You know, don't worry. A bat did not deposit in your mouth. And, you know, he was able to get it out, and thank God he didn't have Ebola. But many of us would may ask that question if we were Tim in that moment, and a fruit bat just blesses your mouth. Like, what are the odds of that target being hit? Like, many of us would probably ask in that moment, what in the heck am I doing here right now? Right? I mean, we'd just be like, what in the heck am I doing here? But I'll tell you what Tim's answer was, is I'm certain he may have asked that question in his mind. He would have answered right off the bat, I'm here, no pun intended, huh? He would have answered, I'm here to love this world. The fact of the matter is, we are all called to be missionaries. You see, I think when we see the words loving the world or reaching the world, we set that on the shoulders of missionaries, and we disqualify ourselves in that sense. But I want to tell you, that's not scripturally sound. We are all called to be missionaries. Evangelism and missions are not, nor were they ever considered suggestive or optional when it comes to our life and calling as a believer. We are all called to love our world. And our world is big, y'all. And our world is wide. It consists of a lot of people. Do you have that world population clock, Doug? This is the current world population right now. 7.4 billion people, and the number keeps climbing. And I don't know if you can see this down here, but it says there has been today already, since 12 a.m., 157,250 births already. Today, that the world population, this is the world population as it exists today. We live in a big, big world, friends. We live in a gigantic world. Think about that just for a moment. And every single solitary one of those people matter. They matter to God. Their life matters. Their thoughts matter. Their value matters. Their eternity matters to Him. And God says that their life, their value, and their eternity are to matter to us. Mark 16, 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. It doesn't matter who. We are called to love our world from the pygmies in Africa. It's so important that we understand this right here. From the pygmies in Africa to the Buddhists in Myanmar to the refugees in Syria to the widow wrapped in poverty in India, God has called you and I. God has called every believer that stands and operates their life under the banner of the salvation of Christ. God has called us to love our world. And it is important that we dream as believers outside of the boundaries of our own nation to see all nations prosper with the good news of Jesus. I mean, we're a blessed, blessed nation, y'all. We live in a Christian nation. And somebody would say, well, it may not feel like it if you turn on the news, turn on the media outlets. Does it look so Christian? Can I just tell you, don't listen to everything the media says. This very election has proven that the media doesn't have a grip or a handle on the voice of all Americans. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a secular agenda out there. I'm not saying that there is not liberal agendas out there that attempt with great effort to secularize our country. And yes, we need to stand up for those values and continue to champion the cause of Christianity to grow and continue to be promoted, honored, and held in this country. But let us not forget just how blessed we are to live in a nation that does just that, that celebrates opportunities like this for people to come together into a place, worship a Savior, and come to know Him personally, freely, and openly. And it's the heart of God to see people know Him like that. To have and take the opportunity to know Him personally as we do. Because that alone is the route to eternity with Him. That alone is the route. And every single person on that world population clock that we just saw has one life to live on this earth. One life. And what happens after that life is determined by whether or not they've had their Romans 10:9 experience. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, Scripture says you will be saved. It is the command of God for us to call on God, for us to receive God. And Paul, the author of this Scripture here, understands this. And you can see his heart for the world. You can see his heart for missions in this chapter, so that others might understand this. Because he says just six verses later, in verse 15, he says, but how can they? How can someone call on Him if they have not put their trust in Him? And how can they put their trust in them if they have not heard of Him? And how can they hear of Him, it says, unless someone tells them? How can someone tell them if they don't go, if they're not sent? The holy writings say the feet of those who bring the good news are so beautiful. So there's this passage in the book of Isaiah. First of all, I love Isaiah. After studying the life and history of Isaiah, he has risen to be my and numero uno in the Old Testament. And he's just an incredible person, incredible prophet of God in the Old Testament. And there's this passage in his book, the sixth chapter, that's quite stirring, because it's kind of an autobiography in that he writes how he became a prophet, like how it all happened, how he became Isaiah, essentially, how Isaiah became to be who he was. It kind of gives us a view into his origin, into the purpose of his calling. And I want to read just a few verses of what that snapshot looks like. In verse 1, he kind of starts off, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, he's kind of documenting the time period here, and the year King Uzziah died is about 8th century BC, it's right around 740s. He says, around this time, he says, I saw the Lord. Now, number one, that's amazing. I saw the Lord, he says, sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That temple was the Holy of Holies that we're talking about. We talk about a lot here at this church. It says, above it stood seraphim. These are descriptions of angels. And it says, each one had six wings. With two, the seraphim covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. What a sight that is being seen here. Imagine if you're Isaiah and you're just seeing this. It says, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, here's Isaiah's response, woe is me, for I am undone. In other words, dang, I am jacked up. He says, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King now, the Lord of hosts. How many know when you're in the presence of God, you realize just how unholy you are? Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, a burning coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Now, despite needing an immediate application of Burt's Bees lip balm and some solar cane burn spray with aloe, like that I would feel like I would need in that moment, the angel is saying Isaiah is now able to prophesy. That the voice of God can now speak through him. With the burning coal, you see fire symbolically throughout Scripture, here in the form of a hot coal, represented purification. It's what they used and still use today to purify gold, to purify precious metals, to burn out the impurities, making it ready for use. And essentially what God is saying here is purifying the heart and mouth of Isaiah is his heart, as God would never want his life-giving words to go out from the lips of the impure. And so after this moment, verse 8 says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who will take my words to the world? Who will go and spread the good news? Who will take my heart and paint it across this world? I love Isaiah's response. Then I said, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. And in verses 9 on, God said, go. And you see God in the verses to follow preparing Isaiah with the knowledge that when you go, not everyone's going to hear you. that when you go, not everyone's going to receive you. When you go, not everyone's going to celebrate you. It's not going to be easy, but he goes. And the story of Isaiah's life is for the history books. His life is so impactful. I would encourage and challenge you to study the life of Isaiah just on a Google search. I went just for fun to look at Isaiah's Wikipedia page. It's actually amazingly accurate. Just read up on Isaiah. I mean, you'd find it quite hard to compare this prophet's pen with anyone else's. He lived to prepare the way for Christ to come and make the impact he did. I mean, just some of the scriptures that he penned, just some of the snapshot verses that he penned to foretell Christ. Chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." The word Emmanuel means God with us. He was telling the people, get ready, God is going to be with us. He's coming to be with us, everybody. Yeah. Chapter 9, verse 6, he says, "For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Chapter 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captive and release from darkness for the prisoners." I mean, no, Jesus said those very same words in Luke chapter 4, 800 years later. Some consider the most infamous passage he ever wrote was chapter 53 and verse 5, when he says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." He lived to tell others the good news of Jesus. What a man. He lived his life in purity. He lived his life well. He lived it for others. Studying his life, he was a very disciplined man. He was known to be a vegetarian. Some of you healthy folks love him even more now. Amen. He lived his life for the world around him. Sadly, at the end of his life, according to the Jewish Talmud, we read that Isaiah suffered martyrdom under the reign of Manasseh, where he was sawed into two for making such, as Manasseh called it, an illegal impact with his words in life to support the cause of the heart of God in the earth. I love Isaiah. God has called us all to support the cause of his heart. Found so many times throughout this book. 2 Peter 3:9, "For God wills that none should perish, but that all come to everlasting life." For God wills, that word will also is translated desires, with great passion. God wills that not one person on this earth should perish, but that all. Can we see that world population clock again? But that all. Called to be missionaries. So here's the question. How can we support missions? What is our relationship here today? Okay, preacher, you told me, you got me. Now how am I supposed to be a missionary? How can I support missions, the heart of God behind missions here in Troy, Missouri? Three ways that God has endorsed through Scripture for you and I to support missions. And I would call it the three G's here. Number one, go. Number two, give. And number three, pray. Pray, give, go. Go, give, pray. Pray, give, go. This is to be our relationship with the world. God has called us to go. God has called us to give. God has called us to pray. And here is where I, as your pastor, feel the very important need to instruct your life as a Christ follower. In that you and I are to regularly ask ourselves these three questions. How can I go? How can I give? And how can I pray? When it comes to the world around us, how can I go? How can I give? And how can I pray? I wouldn't be doing my job as your pastor if I didn't share that instruction with you. How can I go? God has called us to go. What was the first words of Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, right? Jesus said, go. Jesus said, go. And make disciples of all nations. Teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Think about that just for a moment. God has called us to go to the world. So what do we do? How do we do that? This is why it's so very important to take opportunity. And this is what we have felt the need to do here from now going forward in the future of this church, is to offer regular opportunities for us to go to the world around us. Like Belize. We're going to go to Belize this summer. We've got 25 people that will be going to Belize with us this year from this church. How many think that's awesome right there? Amen. To go to impoverished parts of Belize City. We're not going to vacation on a beach. We're going into the impoverished areas. We're going to go and establish medical clinics. We've got two RNs going on this trip to be able to offer medical clinics and to be able to bless those in this community. We're going to have sidewalk kids Sunday schools and VBSs we're going to throw and minister in churches and schools. It's going to be wonderful as we gather a harvest for somebody that is going to be planting a church there. We're believing for 500 people at the minimum to be saved. And then to tell a church planter, here you go. Here's 500 people. Have fun with your church. Amen. As we continue to give and support that effort. Next year, we're going to continue to offer more and more mission trips. It's important that you pray. God, is this an opportunity for me? Is this an opportunity for my family, my home? My sons have never been on a mission trip yet. I'm taking them with me to Belize. I wholeheartedly believe that every student, before they graduate high school, ought to attend youth camp and go on a missions trip. It will change their world before they go and change the world. How can I go? Seek out ways that you can go. Why? Because God commands us to go. Give. This is why we have Mission Sunday at Journey Church. Every first Sunday of the month, because God commands us to give. For the benefit of seeing the world around us covered with the love of God. And take opportunity. Make that a part of your heart. Make that a part of your financial commitment here in your home, above your tithes, to bless the cause and heart of missions through what it is we're doing in Africa. To bless the world around us. Because people right now in the world are praying. Think about this just for a moment. People right now in the world are praying for help. And we are the answer. whether it's a 9-year-old girl in a cage in the back streets of Calcutta, India, about to be sold into prostitution, or an Egyptian community just praying for water that they can drink, or a child on the streets of Bujumbura, Burundi, Africa, whose parents have died and are just asking God, please take care of me. So many times, we are the answer to those prayers. When I say we are blessed, I mean we are blessed in this country. We are blessed to live where we live. We have been blessed. And we have been blessed for a purpose. We have been blessed to be a blessing. Don't ever let that erase itself from the contents of your four focus. We have been blessed to be a blessing. So we need to write that down. You need to say, I have been blessed to be a blessing. Because God will hold you and I accountable to what it is we have done with what it is He has given us. And I'm not saying vacations are horrible, and I'm not saying that new car is bad. By all means, enjoy the life that you have been given. But if it goes without blessing the needs of humanity who cry out for what it is we have, when God looks at you on Judgment Day, looks over at me, I'm going to say, hey, I told him. Let's pull that message up. Now, I don't say this to bring guilt, but I say it to encourage your potential. Because when we go, when we give, when we pray, things happen. Like in India, there's a name you want to write down and pray for. His name is David Grant. One of the most powerful men of God I've ever heard speak. Who spends his life and calling impacting the nation of India. Has a ministry reach that goes in and purchases those 9-year-old girls in cages. And puts them in orphanages, spirit-filled, Bible-based orphanages to give them a hope and a future. And or return them to the parents from where they were kidnapped. A ministry to support. In India, women of God like Hulda Buntain, who's considered the new Mother Teresa, even at her elderly age, HuldaHBuntain, I pray for Hulda Buntain, who's got an incredible ministry reach into India. When we go, when we give, when we pray, things like this happen. Where in Africa, ministries like the Water Project, you want to support a great ministry? The Water Project is an incredible ministry that exists to dig wells inside of African communities and Middle Eastern communities wherein there are just desert conditions. And they have dug thousands of wells to communities that never had access to clean or safe water, but now do. When we go, when we give, when we pray, things happen. Look at what we've been able to accomplish just in Burundi. Just our church. We're 16 kids, full-time, live there, all-time. 6 staff members. And then we also have 4 kids that no longer live there that we've been able to restore back to families that were blessed just during their season here. When we go, when we give, when we pray, things happen. Amen? This talk has been on my heart for a few months, and I was trying to find opportunities for it to fit somewhere, and this is where it landed. I think it's good we come in today and learn about the importance of being a missionary. Whether it's through you going, whether it's through you giving, or through you praying, the heart of God for the world needs to always be on our faith. So I want to close with this word right here. So I want to ask our communion teams if they would to come, and our deacons that are available for prayer here today if they would to come. We're going to close the service like this. It's going to be weird, different. It's okay. I'm not going to ask you to stand or anything like that right now. I'm going to ask you to be dismissed on your own efforts, at your own time, at your own release. But I want to pray for the world today. That's how I want to close. I want to close with just us taking a couple of minutes and praying for the world. And to do that, in just a moment, not yet, but Doug is going to play. He's our guy in the booth back there. He's going to play. I was looking on YouTube, and it showed this NASA, I don't know if it was from the space shuttle or a satellite, but they were flying over the Earth. Not flying over the Earth. What do you call this? Orbit. They were orbiting the Earth. And I got a Bible college degree, friends, not a amen, not other degrees. But they were orbiting the Earth, and they took like still frame pictures, and so kind of flies over the Earth from their view, and it shows just different countries, and it kind of pops out in like little white letter text. And we're going to just play that in the background while Tim worships, and just right there in your seat, if you just want to just take an opportunity, and maybe there's been a nation that's been on your heart, or God's going to put a nation on your heart right now, and just this little remainder frame of time that we've got left in the service, just spend your time praying for them. Say, God, I just, if it's Morocco, God, I pray for the nation of Morocco right now. Lord, bless that nation. Bless that nation with salvation. Bless that nation with healing. Bless that nation, God, with men and women of God that would be raised up from within it to evangelize communities that sit inside of that country. Just pray for salvation in Morocco, and maybe others of you somebody has a Turkey on their heart, or maybe India when I was mentioning those things, or maybe South Africa or Chile or Brazil. How many know that would be powerful if men and women of God would regularly call out nations before Him? God asked Isaiah, who will go? He said, here, my Lord, send me. So let us sit in this room today. Send me, God. Whether it be physically, send me there, God. Whether it be financially, send me there, God. Now, Lord, whether it's through my prayers, just bless the world around me with salvation from above. And at your leisure, when you feel released and you want to come and just take communion, head back out to your seat, or you want to take communion now, head back out to your seat and pray later. Just take this time in your own efforts. If you need prayer for